Welcome to the Radio Detective Story Hour podcast. You can find all of my podcasts since 2005 on the website, and while there, leave a comment at rdsh.otr.com, or you can send me an email to otrpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send me a tweet, my Twitter account is @radiodetective. In the history of radio programming as the networks began to coalesce into national programming, New York City was the primary location for network programs to originate. Before lines became available in the West, the second major city for network programming came from Chicago, Illinois. Throughout its history, Chicago was primarily known as the capital of daytime serial drama, or soaps as they were called, affectionately, with so many soap manufacturers sponsoring them. But there were other program genres being produced out of the Midwest network facilities, including horror, as well as a few occasional detective-related dramas. The detective program I am featuring this week was one of those in which the show was produced in the Midwest. The series was not a great one, but I wanted to give it a mention since it was a detective-based series. It was called Easy Money, and the premise featured Detective Mike Trent, who intones that, quote, "there is no easy money," end quote, and his job is to, quote, "blow the lid off of swindles." The first episode focused on football pool swindles, appropriate for the season. Others focused on gambling, basketball swindles, and charity rackets. The series was a bit hokey, but was well produced. Star of the series was radio actor Larry Haynes, who spent a lot of his radio acting career on anthology shows and never really had a starring series other than this one. He was also a regular on the CBS Radio Mystery Theater in the 70s. Haynes has the acting chops to carry the role, but the scripts and the premise for Easy Money are just too weak to sustain a lot of interest given the dominance of television when these were being produced in the early 50s. The shows were produced under a syndicate name of Air Shows Incorporated for the NBC radio network. The series originated from WGN, who bought the show idea from George B. Anderson, who wrote the scripts. Anderson worked at the Tribune, which also owned WGN, as an executive in the advertising department. Anderson himself was an amateur magician and wrote that into the Easy Money series. He also wrote scripts for Nick Carter and Mystery House. Later, when he returned to advertising, his advertising firm Anderson & Anderson continued to produce the series for a time. There seemed to be only 5 episodes of this series in circulation, and being produced independent of the network, most likely 13 were produced, unless the funding dropped out of it long before. Most networks contracted based upon a 13-episode initial run, even if not all were ever broadcast. The novel detective approach of this series was that not only was Mike Trent a detective, he was also a magician, which apparently qualified him to know all the tricks in swindling people. Sometimes the episodes went to great lengths to explain how swindling tricks were performed. As with some of the other radio detective series of the period, this one also had a male detective, with the somewhat ditzy female office assistant who acted as a foil to the main character. It was a formula heard time and again on Sam Spade, Richard Diamond, The Thin Man, Let George Do It, and others. By the 50s, radio networks were grasping for programming with little funding to do it on their own except for occasional standout series such as Escape, featured last time, and some of the best of the westerns in the 50s. Some writers dabbled in creating series and selling them to radio. Sadly, there were probably more of these latter series than the ones we most fondly recall. Easy Money is pretty much a forgettable detective series in my mind, though they are certainly entertaining. So here now is Larry Haynes, Ralph Bell, and Maurice Tarplin in an episode of Easy Money called Galloping Ivories from November 1954.
National Broadcasting Company presents another program in a new series exposing the inside secrets of gamblers, racketeers, and con men. It's called Easy Money.
Easy Money? There's no such thing as easy money.
Mike Trent, the ex-magician turned rackets detective, is an expert on easy money schemes, gyps, frauds, and swindles. Tonight, he blows the lid off of one of the vicious gambling rackets that's being worked in this country year after year. This one's called Galloping Ivories, and here's Mike Trent to tell you about it.
Thank you, Bill McCord. Professional gamblers are so used to trimming their victims that sometimes they get impatient. They see a chance for a fast cleanup, and they jump at it, especially if they feel they've got a soft touch for their prey. My story tonight is about a big operator who got mixed up with some kids and came mighty close to wrecking their lives. It opens in the back room of one of the suburban gambling clubs where the boss's right-hand man had just brought in his report of the night's receipts.
It's a nice night, Soapy. That's the biggest take we've had in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Only look, Gunner. Giving this kid Junior Alwyn Sky high credit, that don't seem so sharp.
No? How much did he lose tonight?
$820. All we got is this little piece of paper.
$820, eh? That makes $7,160 altogether.
Yeah.
I'll take all that kind of paper I can get.
But Gunner, how are you going to collect? His old man said the last time he settled up, he wasn't paying any more crap game debts for Junior.
I know.
Old man Alwyn ain't the kind of guy who'll stand for muscle.
Don't worry. I'm not planning to put any heat on Junior's daddy.
I don't get it.
That's fine, Soapy. If you don't get it, Junior won't either. You and young Ewan are about on a par on brains.
Yeah, look, boss, you don't need to get nasty.
Don't I? Listen, Soapy, I'd like to run that Junior Elwin account up to about $15,000.
You mean fast?
Fast. Give the kid a break. Let him double up. Get him to shoot the works trying to get even.
You're going to let him get even?
Now, what do you think? The minute the bill gets up to 15 grand, tell the kid I want to see him.
Well, if you say so.
I do say so, and don't scare him. Be nice to him.
I should be nice to a dumb phony who owes us all that dough.
All what dough? I'm playing for big stakes, Soapy. $15,000 is just my first roll.
Okay, Gunner, you're going to roll like that. Be sure you're throwing your own dice.
Soapy, when I gamble, I never take chances. Well, Mr. Elwin, I haven't seen you for a long time, have a chair, huh?
Thanks. Your dice man said that you wanted to see me, Gunner. If it's about money,
Money? What's that? Your credit's always good for a few $100 in my gambling club, Junior.
Thanks.
I know your father gives you a nice allowance, and I know you're the kind of fellow who thinks a gambling debt is important. You're a gentleman.
Thanks again.
A few $100 doesn't mean any more to you than it does to me. If you don't have it, I know you will get it.
Well, I've been having a lousy run of luck lately, Gunner. But it's bound to change sooner or later. I never worry much about gambling losses.
Well, that's one of the things I like about you, Junior. Well, I bet you could run up a bill of $1,500 without batting an eyelash.
Yeah, sure.
You're a natural gambler. The smart kind of a gambler. Why, I haven't even checked on your account.
Fine.
By the way, Junior, how does your account stand?
Well, I've been having rotten luck, Gunner.
Well, that's what you told me. Well, how rotten?
I owe you $15,000.
That's an awful lot of money, Junior. I'm a little surprised.
I'll pay off, don't you worry.
I never worry about anybody paying off. Let's face facts. Where will you get $15,000?
Why, I'll get it.
Where?
Well, I'll borrow it.
You couldn't borrow $15.
Well, it'll take a few days, of course.
Pucker up your lips more when you whistle in the dark, kid. If I give you 6 months, you couldn't raise the money anyway, short of killing your old man. You've been playing me for a sap, and I'm getting sore.
You said I could have all the credit I wanted. You let me run up...
Shut up. If anything, I hate it, it's a whiny loser.
I'm not whining.
You kept right on doubling up until you found yourself in a spot.
I'm not in a spot.
Oh, no? Well, guess again, Junior. You're in a real spot.
What do you mean?
I run this gambling club to make money. Maybe that never occurred to you. If I let one loser welch on me, get by without paying, I quit making money.
I said I'd pay.
I have a couple of pretty fair ways to collect, kid. Collect or else.
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, don't lay any odds on that one, kid. When you run a place like mine, you'd be surprised what you dare.
What do you want me to do?
Well, now you're talking sense.
Well?
You run around with a pretty speedy bunch of kids, huh?
You want me to steer some of my friends to your club?
I wouldn't have them cluttering up the place. But I'd like to meet a few of them outside.
What do you mean?
From what I read in the papers, you're quite a party boy.
Well?
Well, I like parties, too. I'd like to be invited to a few parties of yours.
I don't get it.
You and I are going to be partners, Junior.
Partners?
We're going to pal around together. You introduce me as a friend who's just come to town. We start a few little $5 crap games.
I still don't get the idea. You can't make up $15,000 in a $5 game.
Did you ever see a $5 crap game stay in that class? You started playing here with dollar chips and you owe me 15 grand. Get me the suckers, I'll get you 15,000 back and a lot more besides.
Oh, but I couldn't do that to my friends.
Oh, no? I bet you could, Junior. And what's more, I bet you will. I'll bet you 2-1. Want to take me?
No, I guess not. It looks like they're your dice.
So Gunnar Gorman was the life of your party, huh?
That's the funny part of it, Mr. Trent. He was. Everybody liked him. And he didn't even suggest the crap game.
I suppose you did.
Yes, when he gave me the high sign.
And I'll bet Gunnar Gorman was lucky, wasn't he?
Well, not at first.
Oh, no. Not while you were shooting for $5 a roll, I suppose not.
The game couldn't have been crooked, Mr. Trent. They were my dice. But Gorman knows something about the game I don't know.
How much did he win?
$5,000. He said it cut my loss to $12,500 because we're partners and I get credit for
$2,500. Mm-hmm. He's giving your friends a chance to get their money back, of course.
Oh, yes. He put on a good act. Like he was embarrassed at taking their money.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a very clever operator.
He's taken a hotel room, and the rest of the crowd think he's just in town for a few days. He's throwing a party at the hotel tonight to give them a chance to get even.
Well, just where does this concern me?
Well, I may be a heel. Everybody seems to think so, even Gorman. At least I've been a prize sap. But I'm darned if I'll double-cross my friends.
You've already done that, haven't you?
Well, I was scared, I guess. And there didn't seem to be anything else to do. Until I saw Gunnar Gorman take their money. Because they trusted me.
Well, what do you expect me to do about it?
Well, I may be dumb, but I don't think Gorman's on the level. If he is, I'll go to Dad and take my medicine, whatever it is. But if he isn't playing fair, I'd like to catch him.
Mm. From what you've told me about him, Gorman will be rough. If he finds that you're double-crossing him as well as everybody else.
I guess I had that coming to me, all right.
Oh, well, it's nothing to what you'll have coming if Gorman discovers you're trying to trap him.
I thought it was your business to catch crooked gamblers, racketeers.
Oh, it is. But there's one type of gambler I dislike almost as much as the crooks, and you're that type.
Well, now, Mr. Trent, after all, you
well,
don't need...
Well, it's true. People who get a big thrill out of hobnobbing with dirty, cheating criminals until their charming friends take them, and then come crying for help.
But I'm not crying for myself. I can't let him rob my friends on my say-so.
I don't even know that the man's a crook. He wouldn't need to be, you know.
To win so surely and certainly?
Oh, Gorman knows the dice odds backward and forward. He knows his chances on every roll of the dice. He could play percentages and win. But sooner or later, in the most honest game in the world, he'd clean them out because dice is his business, and he knows his business.
But $5,000 in one little
game... Look, there's no rougher, tougher, faster form of gambling ever been invented. One flop of the dice, he can make more money than a whole evening of poker. $5,000 would make me think Gorman was holding back.
One of my best friends, Marge Terrence, lost $1,500 of it. That makes me feel worse than anything else. She... Well, I'm sort of crazy about
her. Wait a minute. You mean there were girls in this dice game? And will be in the next one?
Yes, Mr. Trent. That's why I'd appreciate your help.
Well, I won't take the case to help you or your friends. You all need a good spanking when you need help.
But you will take the case?
Yeah, on one condition.
What's that?
It's understood I'm doing it strictly to put Gorman in his place.
Swell.
There's nothing swell about it. Do you have a revolver?
Gosh, no, I'd be scared to death of one.
Well, then you're going to be scared because you'll be carrying one.
But why?
You might need it. You've crossed up your dad and he's taken it. You've crossed up your friends, they don't know it. They wouldn't do much about it if they did, probably. But if Gunnar Gorman ever finds, you're double-crossing him.
You think he'd get tough?
Well, I think there's undoubtedly a very good reason for his nickname being Gunnar.
I don't know why you're feeling so big about winning $5,000 at a party. The joint does better than that most any night.
Well, you're going to meet some nice people at the party, Soapy.
Me? Hey, listen, Gunnar.
Why, hadn't I told you, Soapy? You're going to be my butler this evening.
Me carting trays of sandwiches around? Look, boss, I stood for a lot, but...
Well, it's a chance to see the elite at play, Soapy.
I suppose you want me to be loaded down with fake dice, like an old copy of the Police Gazette.
Oh, don't be naive, Soapy.
Don't be... Huh?
We won't use odd dice.
Are you kidding?
They'll bring their own dice. These are respectable people, Soapy.
I never see the guy so respectable. I trust his dice. You gotta be sure of winning, ain't you?
I'll win. Don't you worry your little brain about that.
You ain't no dice mechanic.
I don't have to be. Not with a thick pile rug on the floor of our hotel suite. And with a good thick pad beneath it.
Huh? Listen, Gunny. You ain't give him the old blanket roll.
No? Why not?
You couldn't get away with it, ain't we? A crapshooter in the country doesn't know about the soft roll.
I'm not dealing with crapshooters, Soapy. I'm playing with wealthy no-goods who want a thrill. I have so much money that the only kind they'll show any interest in is easy money. I'll be disappointed if I don't win $50,000 tonight. And they'll come back and back. This is just a start.
Yeah, but you'll have to give Junior Elwin half the profits, won't you?
Oh, you need a head cleaning, Soapy. After tonight, my partnership with Junior is dissolved.
Well, can you do that? He might squawk.
He wouldn't dare. If he lets these saps know anything, they'll find out he was working with me, helping play them for suckers. You think he'd do that?
Who'd be coming around here with the sun still out?
We'll get the door, find out. Oh, hello, Junior.
Hi, Gunner. Say, I thought I'd better warn you. There may be trouble tonight.
Oh, yeah? Listen, Bright Boy, if there's any trouble, you know who'll wind up with it, don't you?
Yeah. That's why I thought I should tell you.
All right, what's up?
You remember Marge Terrence, the girl who lost so much money?
How could I forget her?
Well, her brother found out about it, and he's kind of a hothead.
You don't say. Well, what about her brother?
Well, he blames me for letting Marge lose so much money, and he threatened me.
Threatened you? How?
He said unless I brought him to your party tonight, he'd beat me up. He wants a chance to win that money back for Marge.
Man, just when you get to thinking Christmas is 5 or 6 weeks away, here comes Santa Claus.
Don't be too sure. Tim Terrence has a reputation for being awfully lucky.
Oh, I like him lucky.
The rest of the crowd's going to the theater, just as they'd planned, and then dropping in here afterwards. But Marge's brother, Tim's his name, he wanted to come up here earlier with Marge and me.
Just can't wait, huh?
Mr. Gorman, I know you think you're pretty hot with the dice, but... I'm warning you. Tim Terrence is plenty lucky.
Well, maybe his luck's due for a change. Bring him around. The earlier the better.
Well, don't say I didn't warn you.
I won't, Junior. I won't say a thing. Except thanks.
Oh, Mr. Gorman, I think your butler or valet or whatever he is a character. Where in the world did you ever find him?
I picked him up in a rough and rugged gambling joint, Miss Terrence.
He's a real authentic type, and such a wonderful name, Soapy.
All right, cut it out, Marge. I haven't met Mr. Gorman yet.
Oh, pardon me. This is Marge's brother, Gunner, Tim Terrence.
How do you know? You folks are a little early.
Yeah. Yeah, Marge told me how you took her money last night.
Well, Gorman. She didn't have very good luck.
You sure it was luck? Luck.
Timmy, be nice now.
I don't like cracks like that, Terrence.
Well, I don't like having my sister Marge lose $1,500 either.
Oh, Tim, be yourself. I can afford it.
She doesn't know a thing about the game. Shooting craps with her is like taking pennies out of a baby's piggy bank.
Look, Terrence, I didn't ask her into the game. The game wasn't even my idea. She lost. The money doesn't mean anything to me. I'm giving her every chance in the world to get it back. You better be careful about your insinuations.
Well, you sound very noble, Mr. Gorman. Yeah, you're a great guy, all right. Taking money away from a girl who doesn't even know what the game is all about.
Listen, boss, you want me to give this bird the bum's rush?
Just stay out of this, Soapy. I, suppose you're quite a crapshooter yourself, Mr. Terrence.
You bet I am.
Oh, he's simply wonderful. He's won money from real professionals.
You don't say.
He talks to the dice. He says the craziest things about fever and Decatur and new shoes and... Go ahead, Timmy. Tell them some of the things.
I think I've heard them, lady.
You're a real hot-shot crapshooter, hmm?
Hot enough to cool you off. And you need to be taught a lesson.
You think you could do it, huh?
You bet I can.
I'd just as soon take your money as your sister's.
I'll just bet you would.
Well, it looks to me like there's only one way to settle this.
Oh, yeah?
Sure, with the dice. You and Tim.
But I want to play, too.
Now, you stay out of this, Marge. I'm going to give Gorman a lesson he needs.
I'm not in the habit of carrying dice around with me.
Just happens I got some in my pocket, boss. Here.
I'll just take a look at those, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead. Look them over all you like. You think I'm a crook, huh?
I'm reserving my opinion.
Give them the sinker test if you want to. Go ahead.
The sinker test?
Isn't the terminology of this game fascinating? I love it. What does it mean?
The sinker test means, lady, that you drop the dice in a tall glass of water and let them sink to the bottom.
I can't imagine why anybody would drop dice into a glass of water.
On a counter, you can tell that way if the dice is loaded. If the same points come up every time you drop them, well, they are. They're loaded.
Mm-hmm. Well, you seem to be all right.
Of course they're all right.
Oh, we'll have to clear all this stuff off the table before we can shoot.
Oh, well, that's too much trouble. Get down on the floor, on the rug. It's more fun that way.
On the rug?
Well, yeah, sure.
Okay. I'll bet $10.
Huh? $10? I thought you were such a red-hot sport.
Well, before you get red-hot, Gorman, you have to get warmed up a little, you know. $10.
Okay, big shot, you're covered. Go ahead, roll them out. I won't even bother looking for that kind of money.
Oh, Tim, a 12. The highest point you can make. That ought to be worth something.
Lady, that's boxcars. You get many of them, you ain't going to be traveling in style.
I'll shoot another 10, Gorman.
You're covered, big shot.
6 deuce.
Ada from Decatur, huh? All right, come on. Dice, show the folks you know your arithmetic. Let's make the point with a 5-3. Shake, rattle, roll.
2 and 2 is 4. That's half of what you're after.
Oh, we'll get the rest of it this time, Marge. Wham! And 6 deuce right back. Okay, I'll let the 20 ride.
6-2. But, Timmy, you said you'd make the 8 with a 5-3. Does it count this way?
I thought you wanted to get your sister's 1,500 back. We've been going half an hour, and I'm 70 bucks ahead. This way we'll shoot all night, and nobody will get anywhere.
Well, the dice haven't gotten hot for me yet, I can tell.
Yeah, well, I'm tired of this penny-ante stuff. Maybe your sister's ready to shoot for some real money.
Why, sure.
Now, you keep out of this, Marge.
You're not going to win her money back for her this way. Your sister makes you look like a piker.
All right. All right, if you feel that way about it, Gorman, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll shoot the whole 1,500 she lost all in one roll.
Oh, Timmy, that's a lot of money.
Put it up, big shot.
Well, suppose you cover it, too. Here's mine, you know?
I've got it covered, don't worry. Go ahead, shoot.
Oh, Tim, how wonderful. A 7. That wins.
Yeah, something tells
Shut
me...
Shut up, Sophie.
Well, I guess that was all I needed. Now I'm getting hot. I'll let the 3,000 ride. Well?
You're covered.
But, boss...
Will you stay out of this? It's 2,500, 3,000. Go ahead, roll them out.
Yeah, you bet. All right, be good to Papa Dice for 3,000 nice big dollars. Be alert, Dice. Come on, you. Sit.
Oh, too bad. A 5.
Fever. Get hot, Dice. Let's 5 right back. A bank account waiting for money. Little old easy 5. Come on, Dice.
8.
5 deuce. 5 for Papa. Just one little 5 is all I ask.
6, that's close.
Oh, I'll get closer than that. Come on, now, be good, Dice.
Oh, there it is.
And up jumps a 5, so I let the 6,000 ride.
You're covered, bright boy.
Boss, can't you see?
Will you shut up? You're covered, Terrence. Shoot.
Okay, Dice, let's have an 11 this time to break the monotony. Ride high, wide, and handsome on a wave of prosperity, Dice. When? Oh, I'm sorry, Marge. I said I'd make an 11, and it's a 7.
But that wins, Tim.
Boss, you ought to call this guy.
Will you keep your mouth shut?
You mean he's doing something crooked? I've been watching, and I don't see anything.
You wouldn't.
Is somebody insinuating I'm crooked?
I haven't said a thing, bright boy. You're letting the 12,000 ride?
Sure. if you can cover it.
I can cover a lot more than that, Sonny. Get the leather bag out of the bedroom, Soapy.
Boss, this is your funeral,
but... If you don't keep still, Soapy, will you get the bag?
Okay, boss.
Timmy, I think this is perfectly marvelous. And it's so honest, too.
What?
He told you how good he was before he started taking your money.
Here you are, boss.
Right. All right, there you are, bright boy. If you think I'm going to run short of money, look it over.
What? There's a fortune in that bag.
Yeah. Anybody who's good enough to take it away from me can have it. If they take it honest.
Is that a crack?
Oh, no, I'm not saying a thing. Your 12,000's covered. Go ahead, roll them out.
Nothing will give me more pleasure, Mr. Gorman. What would you like?
What do you mean, what would I like?
A point or a natural?
Oh, don't be so smart. Just go ahead and roll.
All right, if that's the way you feel about it, okay.
Tim, aren't you forgetting something?
What?
You aren't talking to the dice.
Oh, well, I don't have to, Marge. With $24,000 on the line, I don't want to disturb the dice. I'll just roll them out like this, you see?
You win. A 4 and a 3.
A beautiful 4 and 3. Prettiest little dice faces I ever saw in my life. Just look at their eyes, all 7 of them.
All right, save the comedy.
Boss, you ain't got...
You shut up. All right, Terrence. You've had your fun.
What do you mean?
I just wanted to see how far you'd go with it.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you think I'm a sap? You've been giving those dice the old blanket roll.
What does he mean, Tim?
He knows what I mean, all right.
I've been watching him. He's been using the blanket roll every time.
I don't see what you mean.
Well, it looks like you'll have to tell him,
Gorman. I'll tell him, all right. On any soft surface, like a bed or a blanket or a rug of this kind, the dice roll in a straight line. If you hold them right, you see? Here. Like this.
But what difference does it make whether they roll in a straight line or not?
The difference between winning a fortune and depending on luck.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Oh, that's because you're dopes. You hold the dice side by side in your hand. On the first roll, with a 6 on one dice facing an ace on the other, you see? The two faces against each other. Well, there isn't a chance in the world of rolling a deuce or a 12. And the odds are 2 to 1 in your favor coming up with a 7.
Well, you might explain the rest of it to him, Gorman. On the off chance that you roll a point, the faces of the dice you hold against each other determine how you'll make the point. You see, the dice roll over and over, but not sideways.
So you admit you were using the blanket roll, huh?
Well, I never said I wasn't.
But, boss, why did you let him get away with it so long?
Well, I'll tell you, Soapy. Because he didn't want to expose his own racket unless he had to. He didn't want to let Junior and Marge see how they'd been losing their money.
Oh, you know all the answers, don't you?
When I lost the 1,500, we rolled the dice on a rug just like this one. Smooth and soft.
And you had just as good a chance to roll them right as I did. The dice aren't crooked. You got no beef.
Should I pick up the dough, boss?
Why, no, Soapy. I'm really shocked at you. We aren't going to have any strong-arm stuff. Mr. Terrence won the money.
You mean...
He won it the same way I won it from these suckers. But we're just going to roll a few more hands, and, well, this time, I'm going to handle the dice.
Mike, that's Soapy. He has a gun.
Well, didn't you expect he would have?
You won't get hurt, mister, if you play along with Gunner like he wants.
You see, I wouldn't dream of hijacking you. All I want is the same chance you had. You have $24,000 on the table, and I cover it. But this time, I roll the dice. It's all fair and square.
That's certainly making armed robbery refined.
All right, give me the dice, mister.
Not sure.
And you'll have no beef when I take it. 6 and an ace facing each other, the same way you held them. Any complaints?
Oh, no, no, no. Not a complaint in the world.
For $24,000. I could roll naturals all day.
Well, aren't you even going to shake them?
Oh, why bother? You and I both know how it works. I'll just give them a nice, gentle roll.
He rolled boxcars. 12.
Hey, what's going on here?
Well, I don't know, Gorman. They're your dice. Want to shoot again?
You're losing your grip, boss.
Keep still. Just take care of that gun.
Would you like to shoot again?
Just a minute. I'm going to give these dice a few rolls here.
Well, well, well. Another 12.
And another one. I ain't seen so many boxcars since I was riding the rods.
What have you done to these dice?
Well, they're your dice, Gorman. You ought to know how to handle them better than that. Maybe you're nervous.
I'll bet he isn't hot. It's just not his night.
Grab up the money, Soapy.
What?
I thought you were keeping this technically on the up and up, Gorman.
Oh, you're lucky I'm not having Soapy put a slug through you. Keep him covered, Soapy.
Don't I even get my 1,500?
You're lucky to get out of here alive.
I don't believe I'd take that money, Soapy. Because the minute your fingers touch it, I shoot Gorman. I've got him covered.
You look...
Yes, yes, Soapy. If you want to risk a lot of trouble, Soapy, go right ahead and pick up the money. You see, Junior wouldn't have to worry. He has plenty of witnesses. But You'd be in a slight jam, I imagine, if there were any fireworks.
Give it to the kid, Soapy.
That's a pretty funny bluff, Gorman. I've never seen a crooked gambler yet who'd risk gunplay.
You heard me, Soapy.
What, do you think Soapy's going to risk going to the chair to save your money?
You heard me, Soapy.
I'm sorry, boss. The guy's right.
What?
Boss, I've just resigned. Here, mister, you take the gun. I don't want it.
Thank you, Soapy. You're showing excellent judgment.
You little rat, I
ought to... You ought to stay in your own backyard. That's what you ought to do. Well, so long, folks. See you at the junior leagues.
You come back here, you dirty...
Gorman. You're a lady's present. No rough talk.
I'll rough talk you when I get out of here. And as for you, Elwin, you dirty double-crosser...
Look who's talking. Marge, frisk him for weapons while I'm folding and stacking this money, would you?
Oh, wonderful. Mr. Trent, you're a character. Honestly.
He's a lousy...
Tut, tut, tut. Junior, how much money do you suppose you've lost to Gorman, roughly?
Well, about $20,000 altogether. But it was on a regular dice table.
Mm. Sure, with six ace flats.
Huh?
A dice loaded so you're bound to end up loser, even if you win a little once in a while. Percentage dice.
You know all the answers, don't you?
Yes, I think so.
He isn't carrying any guns, Mike.
Mike? You called him that once before.
Sure. Mike Trent. Maybe you've heard of him.
Oh. Yeah. I'll get you for this, Elwin, if
you're not going to get anybody, Gorman. You can't make a beef without exposing your own crookedness, and if I were you, I'd see that nothing happens to Junior.
What do you mean?
I mean I'm making a full report of this game to the police. From now on, they'll be watching you all the time.
You're shoving me right out of town.
That's right. Any complaints?
Look, all those boxcars I rolled, I don't see...
Oh, that? Well, you see, I had some adhero fluid in a sponge pinned inside my coat, you see?
Adhero fluid? What are you talking about?
Oh, you should keep up on new developments, Gorman. It's a fluid to load dice while a game's in progress.
What?
Yes, it's a clear plastic fluid that hardens when it comes in contact with celluloid. I gave the aces on those dice a good heavy coat of it while you were telling me you were going to take over.
I didn't see you.
Well, all I had to do was get the fluid on my fingers, Marge, and rub my fingers over the aces. The dice were so loaded that when Gorman took them up, they'd turn, even on a soft, padded surface.
You're the dirtiest crook I ever ran.
Oh, no, you... not a dirty crook, Gorman. An honest crook. Here's your $20,000, Junior, and your $1,500, Marge. Oh, and here's another $3,500 to cover what your other friends lost, Junior.
Gee, thanks. Mm-hmm. But what do I owe you for your work, Mr. Trent?
Not a cent, Junior. Somehow or other, I seem to have done all right.
Now, here's a last word from the man who knows the racket's inside out, Mike Trent.
Thank you. Well, I hope you like tonight's show. It should help convince you that anybody can be easy money for crooked dice game operators. And remember, not even the water test is infallible for crooked dice. Any game can be rigged in 50 different ways. So the one way to be safe is to keep out of the game. This is Mike Trent signing off with the thought that you can never stay even with the game when the odds are always against you. Remember, there's no such thing as easy money.
You have just heard another in NBC's new series, Easy Money, exposing the inside tricks of the gambler's trade. Be sure to listen again next week when Mike Trent shows how it's possible for you to be gypped on what may look like a perfectly respectable raffle. It's called the Lottery Racket. Featured in tonight's cast were Larry Haynes as Mike Trent, with Wendy Drew, Peter Fernandez, Ralph Bell, and Maurice Tarplin. Script by George B. Anderson. Easy Money is produced and directed for Air Shows Incorporated by Blair Walliser. This is Bill McCord.
Join your favorite couple, Fibber McGee and Molly, tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
You don't have to twist my arm. Just point me where you wanna go. Take me to the action. Take me to the track. Take me to a party. If they're threatening in the back, I've been working all my life. Can't afford to wait. Let me call my wife so I can tell her.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Radio Detective Story Hour. I'll be back next time with another drama of suspense.